This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at the latest increase in electric rates and how social service agencies are feeling the pinch. We'll also have our forecast for the week from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. Rantoul Village trustees vote this week on whether to implement a hike in its municipal electric rates. Tomorrow night's vote comes a week after a presentation from a utility consultant who's recommending a 5% across-the-board hike. Mayor Neil Williams is backing the report, saying any wait to raise rates would force larger bills on customers down the line.
He's explained himself and the need for this and what the cost of a delay would be. And to be honest with you, I just don't think it's responsible to make delays when they're not needed and they're not necessary.
Williams says the village utility company will go into debt without the rate hike. Based on the consultant's report, residential customers would see a greater increase than businesses, with hikes of around 7% over the next 2 years. Commercial customers would see increases of just over 4%. Williams says village officials are seeing mixed reaction to the proposal. He says trustees are only being responsible when factoring in inflation, depreciation, and the increased cost of service. If it's approved, the increased rates would be retroactive to the start of this month. One vote separated a man in the village of Ivesdale from a seat on the board in the small Champaign County town. Now Tom Kerwin is asking the county for a recount of last month's election, where he received 60 votes. County Clerk Mark Sheldon says it will take place this afternoon. Purdue University's Board of Trustees meets today to vote on the school's next president. The meeting was announced last week amid reports that University of California Riverside Chancellor Franz Cordova had been in discussions with Purdue concerning the post. Current Purdue President Martin Jischke announced back in August that he plans to retire June 30th after being Purdue's top administrator for 7 years. Purdue trustees have been silent on the number of candidates in the running out of concern that sought-after people would drop out of the race if their names are made public. One of the top Democrats in the Illinois Senate says lawmakers are continuing to consider gaming as a way to generate money for construction projects. Rich Egger has more.
Lawmakers have been unable to agree on a funding source for a capital bill for several years. But the issue remains on the table, and Senator John Sullivan of Rushville says a tax on gaming has been looked at more than other options.
It's a voluntary tax to begin with. It does generate a lot of revenue for the state, so that's probably maybe one of the easier taxes to pass.
Sullivan believes the plan would include an expansion of gambling. He says that could mean more gaming slots at existing casinos or development of new casinos in the Chicago area. Rich Egger reporting.
More money will come to Champaign's Parkland College and two other Central Illinois community colleges for worker training. The $300,000 from the State Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity is aimed at training and retraining employees of small and medium-sized businesses. The director of Parkland's Business Development Center, Tris Henderson, says pairing up with Heartland Community College in Bloomington and Illinois Central College in Peoria can help the schools share each other's strengths.
If Heartland got approved for, let's say, some type of computer training that's used maybe at State Farm, Parkland would have access. They could use that same curriculum in our district.
The Blagojevich administration says the grants will help train more than 3,100 people at 182 different companies in the central part of the state. Fixing Danville's Fairchild Subway could cost millions of dollars, according to an engineering study performed for a group examining the city's long-term transportation needs. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Fairchild Subway is actually two short tunnels carrying traffic on Danville's Fairchild Street under a grouping of six railroad tracks. The subway is important to relieving traffic congestion in the heart of Danville, but it's 92 years old and showing its age. Danville Public Works Director Doug Arnd says an engineering firm studying the subway found that its retaining walls have shifted as much as 13 inches over the years, causing them to crack and drop pieces of concrete. He says replacing them will cost from $3.7 to $7.2 million, depending on the method.
There are various other reviews that will need to take place, but one item that was identified as not a recommended solution was the do-nothing alternative.
Arne says the ongoing study will also examine the best site for the subway. He says Williams and Voorhees Streets are also possible locations. The engineering study is being conducted for the Danville Area Transportation Study Group. Arne serves on its technical committee. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Millions of cicadas will likely invade the Chicago area in the next few weeks. They visit only every 17 years, but their song and their mess leave quite an impression. Why will there be so many this year? Sean Ali has an answer.
Scientists say cicadas don't breed a lot just to bug you. It's a survival strategy. Chris Dietrich studies insect evolution at the Illinois Natural History Survey. He says cicada species survive by overwhelming anything that might eat them.
There are never enough predators around when these mass emergences occur to clean up the entire population. There are always going to be plenty of cicadas left over to mate and reproduce.
Dietrich says you see this swarming strategy all over the animal kingdom. Think schools of fish or herds of wildebeest in Africa. Still, researchers aren't clear exactly why cicadas swarm only once in a while. I'm Sean Ali.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Many Illinois residents already struggling to get by took an unexpected financial hit the past few months. Through no fault of their own, their electric bills went up, in some cases by double or even triple. The situation is forcing more people to look for help, and it's straining social service agencies. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky has this report.
Business has been good at the Jacksonville Food Bank lately. Too good. In the first 4 months of the year, 46 new families, as in people who never before needed the help, were served. It's double the number of new clients served in that time last year. Pantry director Becky Eden welcomes yet another couple.
We open at 9, we close at 1, so you need to come in a little early because we don't...
Eden says she's glad to help, but the food pantry itself has limited funds, which limits the help it can provide. Eden says the main reason so many people are having trouble putting food on the table is because of higher electric rates.
I mean, there's layoffs and they're not making... When they are working, they're not making much money. And then the utility bills went up, and now gasoline's gone up. Well, you know, you can only stretch Abe so far. You know, a dollar only goes so far.
Especially, she says, in a town like Jacksonville.
If you make $8 an hour, you're doing good, because there's not many factories left in Jacksonville. So most of it's fast foods or, you know, stores like Walmart, Shopko. If the senators or representatives had to live on $8 an hour, could they do it and pay the bills that these people are paying? I doubt it.
That's the case for 21-year-old Shane Benkowski and 18-year-old Valerie Delaney. The engaged couple's already struggling to get by. Both are working to get their GEDs while at the same time raising a baby and working afternoon to midnight shifts at a meat processing plant. They say it will be a while before they marry, as they're spending any extra cash on their young daughter, Aaliyah. They're also having to spend more on their monthly power bills. The couple long ago stopped buying movies and going out to eat, and they wear hand-me-down clothes to save money. Benkowski says when their electric bill went up this winter, it threw their budget for a loop.
Yeah, our bills went from $85 to $332.
Neither have followed the debate at the state capitol about how to resolve the electric rate situation, which has gone on for months. Ameren, which serves most of downstate Illinois, and Commonwealth Edison in the Chicago region, raised rates in January. Both companies argue efforts to bring those prices down will lead to bankruptcy. Delaney says legislators elected to represent the people need to respond.
I need to tell them they need to straighten up because they don't realize how hard it is for people that don't make big gobs and gobs of money like them. I mean, how are they supposed to afford it?
In the meantime, the couple are taking advantage of the food pantry.
Every little thing helps now these days. Every little thing. You wouldn't believe it.
It's not just the food pantry that's been swamped since electric rates went up in January. The local Salvation Army says it's seen the impact. Linda Denny's a case manager there.
And it's not just low-income families now. We are seeing people that work two jobs coming in for assistance because their bills, they just can't pay the bills.
The Salvation Army in Jacksonville has had to lower the amount of aid from $100 to $75 it gives to families in trouble. Denny says the goal is to stretch limited resources. Just blocks away from the Salvation Army and the food pantry are several public housing projects, like Beecher High Rise, a home for low-income seniors and people with disabilities.
They've complained that they can't afford to take the bus places, go to the store. They don't have as much money. Some of them didn't come in to pay their rent because they had to pay their electric bill.
That's Leslie Gregory, a social worker at Beecher High Rise. The brick building has electric heating units. Previously, Ameren gave discounts to those with electric furnaces, but that stopped when rates went up. Many of those consumers have been hit hardest. Gregory says some people have come to her in tears.
They're crying to us, what am I going to do? And I'm saying, you know, well, the government's talking about it. They're trying to get something done. You know, hang in there, try to get this bill paid. You know, see what happens. Wait.
For now, that's about all anyone can say. Despite much heated debate, legislators remain divided as to how to fix the situation. While they're negotiating, consumers are getting little help. Ameren and ComEd are offering relief to some low-income customers. Both utilities have also held off disconnecting electric service of consumers who are behind on payments. A small consolation for those having a more difficult time barely making ends meet. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Today will be a really nice day over most of the two-state area. The exception, according to meteorologist Ed Keezer, northwest and west central Illinois, where they'll see clouds and a chance of a few showers. Partly to mostly sunny elsewhere, with highs ranging from 74 in eastern Indiana to 82 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, in Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms could move in. In Indiana, partly cloudy still, the lows ranging from 47 in southeast Indiana to 64 in northwest Illinois. For tomorrow, in southeast Indiana, partly sunny, but elsewhere increasing clouds and scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving or still developing. And highs tomorrow will range from 74 in northwest Illinois to 82 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.